for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday evening, December 28, 1992. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Colonel Speed Wilson is the speaker of the evening.
This is tape one of two tapes of the evening service.
We appreciate the ministry that the Lord has given him and the understanding that the Lord is giving him of the hour and the time that we live in and the affairs that are going on in the world. Colonel Speed Wilson was 5 years at the Pentagon, wasn't he?
Eight years.
Oh, yeah.
You know, got to be a fixture almost.
You got to be a fixture over there.
Well, I had 1 year off for good behavior to go to Vietnam, but came back.
Came over to Vietnam for a year and put him in charge of the Marine
amphibious
forces over there. And he was over there, and he was also a Marine fighter pilot in World War One and in the Korean War. World War II.
We're getting there.
He's a new Spanish-American war too.
Yeah.
But Brother Wilson has distinguished himself as a serviceman for our country. He is the most decorated man in America, World War II, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War. And Jack Harris, who we thought would be here, we need to pray for him.
Amen.
He has got the flu real bad. Again, he had it last year at the same time, and he's got it again. Brother Jack Harris is the most decorated man in America of World War II.
Amen.
But Colonel Speed Wilson is the most decorated of World War II. And
it took me three wars to catch up with Jack.
But anyway, we're glad that he's to have him, and it's just a privilege to introduce him to you.
God bless. Thank you. Praise the Lord. I'd like for Ruth to stand up, my wife. I'd like for you to see her. Some of you have been asking. Praise the Lord. I did that specifically so if any sailors or soldiers or airmen here, I want you to know that God does bless Marines by giving us wives like that. Well, tonight let's talk about knowing the times and seasons. And I'm sure some of you clutched already because you've been told you weren't to know. Well, there's a whole bunch of stuff you've been told. Today being the 28th day of December, year of our Lord, 1992. And I want you to know also that understanding prophecy your salvation doesn't depend upon understanding prophecy. Your salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So tonight we're just going to be discussing some possibilities. We're not here to establish doctrine or dogma. Well, heaven knows we have enough of that. We're just going to explore some things that you might not have heard before. Now, I'm not making any dogmatic statements except the one I'm going to say right now. And that is that the Bible is the Word of God.
Amen.
And as the Word of God, it's truth. And as truth, it remains truth. Whether anybody believes it, understands it, or accepts it, it still remains truth. That's true of all truth. We're only discovering truth. But it was there all the time. And you might remember the devil is a liar and the truth is not in him. And there has to be a truth before there can be a lie. So you see, the New Age movement plays on that. And praise the Lord, if you don't know your scripture, you're a prime candidate for the falling away into the New Age because they use the same terms, the same. You'd think they were Christians the way they talk. And some people who call themselves Christians. Well, the Bible is the Word of God, and I say that knowing that Congress agrees. And you know you can believe anything Congress says. And if you believe that. But public law number, you can see it, public law number 97-280 of October the 4th, 1982, says, whereas the Bible, the Word of God, there you are, We've got them, so forth. You can read on down. But down here where the red line is, it says, whereas this nation now faces great challenges that will test its nation as it's never been tested before. And that's true. We'll be getting into some of that. Whereas the renewing of our knowledge and faith in God through the Holy Scriptures can strengthen us as a nation and a people. Now, therefore, let it be resolved by the Senate and the House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled that the President is authorized and requested to designate 1983 as a national year of the Bible in recognition of both the formative influence of the Bible has been in our nation and our national need to study and apply the teachings of the Holy Scriptures. Try to do that in some school today and see how far you get. So, they're all a bunch of, well, we'll get into that. Some of you will be interested to know we'll be talking about the New World Order. And B team, as in Bush, and C team, as in Clinton, they just changed teams. They're all the same bunch. I think it was 2 years standing right here. 2 years ago, I named three people that would probably be the Democrat command. Candidate, and Bill Clinton was one of them, because he has all the credentials. He's a Rhodes Scholar, he's a member of the Rockefeller Council of Foreign Relations and Trilateral, and he's a distinguished member of the Bilderbergers, and Al Gore is a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. So they just switched teams. On the, either way, you lose. Knowing the times and seasons. Well, are we to know? Now, I met the Lord in 1958 and was baptized in the Holy Spirit out in Japan. And my habits changed a little after that. And my habitat changed. And I had a real hunger for reading the Word of God. And I read the Bible completely through in two different translations. And I don't know how many times I read the New Testament. And I began to see and understand portions of the Scripture, which I'd never done before. Then I came back and got involved with an organization, as Glenn and I know, and so does Charles Trombley and others, the Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship International. And that's quite an achievement to be able to even see it. But like the guy came in and saw FGBMFI and he couldn't pronounce it. As close as he could come was Fagumfi. And so people began to tell me we weren't to know these things. And I asked them, where do they get it? And they said, well, the Bible says you're not to know the times nor seasons. Well, big deal. So I looked up Young's Concordance, and Strong's will do, and I looked up all the references, times and seasons, and I found only one restriction. It's in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. But it was an answer to a specific question. Jesus had been with them for the three and a half years, and been crucified, resurrected, and a few verses later, returns to the Father, and they came to him and said, is now the time you reestablish the nation of Israel? Now, they didn't get that off of the wall. The Scripture is full of the fact that toward the end of an age and the Messiah would come, there would again be a nation of Israel. But they just had it out of time sequence, and sometimes we do that with doctrine. And he said, no, you're not to know the time nor season of when there'll again be a nation of Israel. That's what he asked. But he says, you wait here until, or he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem. Isn't that interesting? It's not a suggestion. He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem until the power of the Holy Spirit had come upon them, and then they would have the power to be his witnesses. So that rules that out. Now, they all, when I began to get a little more convinced on it, well, some people said, well, you ought to read Matthew 24, 36, Mark 13, 32, which says this, but of the coming of the Son of Man, you shall not know the day nor the hour. Neither the angels know, the Son doesn't know, but the Father knows. Well, that really wasn't very foreign to me, because before that time had come, I had determined in my own heart that I was going to read God's Word without any preconceived ideas to the best of my ability. Because I was convinced that God said what he meant and he meant what he said. And I just wanted to figure out what he was trying to say. Just like reading a military directive. Not whether I liked it or not, just read it. And try to understand what was going on. So the day and the hour. Well, it's all right. He didn't say we couldn't know the year, month, and week. If I could come within a week, that's good enough for rapture scheduling. Since I was here about 2 years ago, we've already had three scheduled. We're still here. And so are the schedulers. Well, now in the military, we get a director for an operation, and we know everything. We know the year, we know the month, and we know the week, maybe. But we don't know the day and the hour. Remember that? D-Day and H-Hour. That'll be sent under a different circumstance, but you're to prepare. You know the whole operation, you know everything. All you're waiting for is D-Day and H-Hour. And you go. So, that's what we got here. I think the Lord will let us know as we need to know. Well, said the angel didn't know, the son didn't know, but the father knows. But isn't it interesting in John 16:13, said, when the Father has sent his Holy Spirit, he, the Holy Spirit, will lead you into all truth, and he, the Holy Spirit, will, what? Show you things to come. You can check back, and it didn't say the Holy Spirit didn't know. The angels and the Son didn't know. So you say, picky, picky. Well, yeah, I want to know what's going on. You bet. I'm trying not to leave anything out, and I'm trying not to put anything in. Well, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 2 and 4, well, we put in 3 also. Paul says, you know perfectly well the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. But then there's a parenthetical phrase which tells you, for when they, the world says, peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon them as the pain in childbirth. But ye are not in the darkness that day should come upon you as a thief. Well, now we have to reconcile that with the day and hour. So, because you're not of the darkness and of the night, you're the children of the light. So therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but be sober. You know, lay off the bottle for, you know, really means be alert. King James says sober. And we know that 9 times in the New Testament we can read, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. 9 times. So if we're ignorant, then we're ignorant by choice. It's not God's desire that we be ignorant. Some of you know John Abenzini. One of his stories was really great. Said there was a beautiful young lady in a rather large church, and there were at least a dozen young men that were convinced she should be their wife. And one rather demanding young man wanted her to give him a scripture. So that's the one she gave him when she repunctuated it, and it said this, I will not have you, ignorant brother. What a difference a comma can make, you know. Well, Matthew 16:2, Jesus tells the Pharisees and Sadducees that you can foretell the weather by looking at the sky in the morning and the evening, but you completely refuse to recognize the signs of the times. Now, let's not be in that category. Now, there were 3 questions that the Lord was asked. I think there were 3. Matthew 24, verse 3. He has just walked out of the temple and has told them that one stone or decoration will not be left standing that they could see from where they were standing. And he departed and went down the mount down in the Kidron Valley and up the other side of the Mount of Olives. And they came to him and asked him, Matthew 24:3, when's this going to happen? And he tells them. And it occurs that way about 37 to 38 years later. He said it would occur within a generation, and we'll see the generation is 40 years. Then 2 other questions. What will be the sign of the end of this age? Not the end of the world. It's the end of an aeon. Now, the King James mistranslates the word aeon, age or a special time period, as if it were the word cosmos, world, earth, or present order of things. And it does that 32 times. So get your Youngs or Strongs and go through and correct those that says world and change it to ages, where it's literally ages, and it'll change a lot of your understanding. It also makes these stupid signs that the world's coming to an end at noon tomorrow look rather silly, too, because it's just an end of an age. And I'm convinced we're approaching the end of an age. But the other question was, and what will be the sign or the event of your coming and of your return? And we'll explore those, because the answers are in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. And when you get to the end of those chapters, just keep reading, because they're on down. Now, I believe there are some key dates. Some people don't agree with this, but I'll show you some reasons why I believe. I believe the 14th of May, 1948 is very significant. That was the day that Israel became a nation after no nation Israel for nearly 2,600 years. 588 BC, nation Israel ceased to exist. Seventh day of June, 1967, third day of the Six-Day War, the city of Jerusalem returned to the control of nation Israel. Now, that's the date that got me, because I was over in the Pentagon, and the Six-Day War started on the 5th of June, and we didn't know it was going to be a Six-Day War, because a lot of things were happening that we don't have time to go into here. We thought this might be the big one. And my birthday was on the 7th day of June, but we were very busy at that time and reading the dispatches on the 8th of June, and it looked like we were going to have to mobilize the reserves, and I was Deputy Director of Marine Corps Reserve, responsible for training, equipping, and mobilization of over 300,000 reservists at 280 bases all over the United States or training centers, which was twice the size of the active duty Marine Corps. And I read the next morning that at 9 o'clock in the morning, a Colonel Mordecai Gurr entered the gate of St. Stephen's, 9 o'clock in the morning, isn't that an interesting time, and 8 hours later had absolute control of the whole city of Jerusalem. And Moshe, or Moses Dayan, the general that had the patch over his eye, was the commander, and said, "We'll never again depart from this holy city." And I thought, as I get it right now, I feel a tingling that that was significant. So that night when I got home, I looked up all the references to Jerusalem. That's quite a job. What I found in Luke 21:24 says, "After Jerusalem is destroyed, which 70 AD it was by Titus, then it will be under the feet or trodden down by the infidel or unbelievers," King James says Gentile, "until the fullness of the maximum influence of the unbeliever or Gentile." Then I began to read it in its context, and I could see that was an event that would occur in what we generally call the last days, the end time, so forth. Then I began to see some other things. I think the 14th of May, 1978 was a significant time. Israel became 30 years old, maturity, remember? The Levite priests couldn't minister until they were 30. David became king when he was 30. Joseph came into power in the land of the Pharaoh when he was 30. When did the Lord Jesus Christ begin his ministry? When he was 30. So you could see all that. It became a mature nation. And the 14th of May, 1988 would be a significant time, because Israel at that time would be 40 years old. It would have been a nation for a generation. I really don't know the significance of that, but I do know, as we'll see from some of the charts we have, that God is moving by generations and jubilees. Very significant, I think. Well, here are some signs, and I'm going to go through these rather rapidly. And I want you to know that I know that many of these things occurred at the time of Titus's invasion and the conquest of the temple area in Jerusalem. But many of us, myself included, believe that some of these events will be repeated, because nothing is established until God has spoken twice. And if we start looking at things that way, some of them would. But some of the things that he outlines as quoting about the end of the age, and that was an end of an age, and I believe we're coming to the end of another age. 1 Corinthians 10:11, Jesus said, Paul said, "All those things that happened to them in the Old Testament are types and shadows and examples unto us upon whom the ends of the ages have come." Ages, plural. So, here's what it says. "You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, and there will be nation against nation." That's actually ethnos against ethnos. It's race against race. "And there will be kingdom against kingdom, the kingdom of the devil against the kingdom of God. There will be famines, there will be earthquakes, Christians will be killed for my name's sake, and crime will abound." Well, you can sure pick up some of them, and I don't think all of those things happened back at 70 A.D. Wars and rumors of wars. Isn't it interesting? We created the United Nations to maintain world peace. I read an article the other day that pointed out, since it was established in 1948-47, we've had 157 wars. When they cry, "Peace, peace," and there is no peace, look out. Race against race. Boy, that's a good one. Race against race. Before we get to that, I just want to show you a diagram here, which will show a little something of what I was talking about. Gotcha. And backwards. What's the matter? Can't you read that? Lord, give them eyes to see. That can be smarts to know up and down. In 1897... the first Zionist Congress is off to create a Jewish state, a jubilee later. 1947, the United Nations established the nation Israel on paper. It didn't come to pass until the next year. In 1917, a Christian, General Allenby of the British Army, retook the city of Jerusalem from the Turks, 1917. 50 years later, 1967, Colonel Mordecai Gur, a jubilee later, retook the city of Jerusalem. Are you getting the feeling God has his hand on the plan? Hallelujah. If he doesn't, we're in deep trouble. Thank you, Arkansas, for sending us Willie Clinton. Well, I'll leave that one. It's not your fault. I don't hold you responsible for it. Hallelujah. And now, then there was a generation that began in 1948 when Israel became a nation. And 40 years later, it would be 1988. It was a blessing. Ruth and I stood on the steps where Peter gave his first sermon on the morning of Pentecost, 1988. And then 1967, when Colonel Mordecai Gur retook the city of Jerusalem. Now, there's no scripture for what I'm going to say now. But a generation from 67 to 2007, I don't know of a better term to call it a transitional generation. Hal Lindsey blew it when he said it's the terminal generation. No, it's not the end generation. It's the beginning of a transition. The other ages have had transitional times. If we had time, we could show you that. I was blessed going through Thomas Jefferson's home over in Virginia and found out we have a jubilee in our nation's history. The 4th of July, 1776, the nation declared its independence. 50 years later to the day, the 4th of July, 1826, both Thomas Jefferson and John Adams both died within 4 hours of each other. Each one of them asked about the other one before dying. So, race against race. You're seeing a lot of this. In Lebanon, there are 8 different ethnic groups in Lebanon. Trouble. You can see that in the evening news. 22 different ethnic groups in India. Trouble. Isn't that something about India condemning South Africa for the separation of races? You ought to go to India. You talk about hypocrisy. It's not all in Washington, D.C. Or as Bo Greitz calls it, the District of Criminals. And there are 20 different ethnic groups in what used to be the Soviet Union. Don't be misled by that. If we have time, that's all planned. How about Yugoslavia in the evening news all the time? Now, today, 8 different ethnic groups, and boy, do they hate each other. They're shooting and killing each other right now. And how about our own nation, much to our condemnation, racial conflict? Many, many problems. All said so in the Bible. Foretold in the Bible. Well, and crime will abound. My goodness. You don't have to look long for that. Many Christians will be killed for my name's sake. It can be substantiated that an average of about 1,000 a day are being killed right now. Try to tell those people, don't worry about the Great Tribulation. You'll be out of here before that occurs. It'll laugh you to scorn. Well, Matthew 24:8, Mark 13:8, Jesus said these events will occur as the pain in childbirth and is but the beginning. Well, if you know about childbirth, which mothers do, the pain is rather minor to start with, but as the time grows near, and the time is coming near, then the pain increases, but the time decreases between the contractions, we're going to call it. Literally, the ideal pattern would be the pain would double in half times. The statisticians, you'll hear the geometric progression or the exponential increase, or if you worked in the Pentagon, you'd say the function of the parabolic curve. That's the reason they call it Fort Fumble. But now, Alvin Toffler, very interesting man, doctor's degree in history, and also had a master's degree in statistical analysis, wrote a very scholarly book, which I read, entitled The Logarithmic Age. But nobody read it, but people who had some statistical background. But then he wrote a popular book that said the same thing in lay language, Future Shock. Said the future is on us, and we're shocked, because with his background in history, He could see events were occurring as they had never occurred in all history. And in his book published in 1970, which was a bestseller for almost 3 months, written in I don't know how many languages, it says at the end of chapter 10, every aspect of human existence has changed more since about 1948. Isn't that interesting? About 1948. He knows when it, about that time. More than all prior history. And he says all knowledgeable individuals will agree that this is a great divide in human history. We'd call it an end of an age. And as he pointed out, it's occurring as the pain in childbirth. Luke 21:25, after he said Jerusalem will be trodden down by the heathen until the maximum influence of the heathen, the next verse it says, and there will be signs and wonders in the sky, the sun, the moon, and the stars. Now, I don't know when that occurred in around 70 A.D. I doubt if it did. I don't know. But I find no record of it. But boy, you can sure find it today. How about signs and wonders in the sky? I saw a lady one time, I was riding in a, I don't know, it was one of the jets commercial, and looked across the aisle, and she was reading there. So I went over and knelt down by her, and I said, do you have any questions about that? Do you understand it? She said, no, I don't. A sign and wonder in the sky. I said, would you believe you're riding in one? Jesus was talking to a bunch of mule drivers or burro riders or donkey riders or camel humpers, and a jet would fly by on the Mount of Olives, they'd have said, glory to God, that's the shortest stage we ever had. And here we are riding in them, wondering when it's going to happen. There's a man the other day said his boss was at him, and this man's convinced we're in the last days of the end time. And he said, oh, come on, get off of it. Everything's the same way it's always been, flying in a 747. It's the same way it's always been. You've got to be kidding. Going through the Aerospace Museum, I saw that, my goodness, Orville Wright died in October 1947. Orville Wright lived to see Chuck Yeager fly faster than the speed of sound. Man, I think when old Orville flew, they ran alongside and talked to him. Because he was headed into a 30-knot wind, so his ground speed was about 5 or 6 miles an hour. And he lived to see Chuck Yeager fly faster than the speed of sound. When I was going through flight training at Pensacola in 1943, they told us that if we ever went faster than the speed of sound, our blood would curdle. No, I've gone faster than the speed of sound, and it just comes real quiet in the cockpit. All the noise is behind you. Well, and in the sun. We sent gadgets out to check out the sun and found out it was hot. And and the moon. I think this is a blessing. Do you know how many Americans have been to the moon? 12, as in apostles, or 12 tribes. All of them believers except one. And they read, they had Holy Communion and read the first chapter of Genesis, and Mary Magdalene, Murray O'Hara, and ACLU had a heart attack. Great. And the stars, well, we sent gadgets out to check out the stars. If you've kept up with that, it's just really amazing. Landed test apparatuses on Mars, took sand samples and all that sort of thing. Now, that didn't come back in the times of Jesus or the other people. Then in that same verse now, after it talks about signs and wonders of the sky, the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth at that same time, there will be distresses with nations in bewilderment, not knowing which way to turn. Or have you read the paper lately? Just exactly that way. Joel 2nd chapter verse 30 in the literal translation says, in the last days there will be columns of smoke and fire shaped like palm trees. Thermonuclear explosions. Doesn't look like a mushroom except when you do it over water. But going on quickly, Matthew 24:14, Mark 14:9 answers the sign of the end of the age. And this gospel of the kingdom of God will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations or ethnos, and then will come the end of the age. That's what they were asking. Well, what is this kingdom of God? I know there's a lot, but I can give you one clear reference. Romans 14:17. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not eating kosher food, although he lived longer. I think it was Bob Mumford at Bible school. Somebody came to him and said, Brother Bob, can you eat bacon and go to heaven? He said, sure, eat bacon, you get there quicker. But, smoking won't send you to hell. You just smell like you've been there. As old Spike Jones used to say, you don't smoke. You don't smoke. The cigarette does the smoking. You're just a sucker on the other end. Well,
It's not meat and drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy. Where? In the Holy Spirit or in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Very simple. Now, another confirmation was one day I was reading U.S. News and World Report. I recommend it. It's a very good news magazine. If you read Newsweek and Time and think you know what's going on. Like Calvin Coolidge said way, way, way back, says anybody who reads the newspaper and thinks he knows what's really happening is to be pitied. And I opened the book, a magazine, and the headline said, "The time is now in counting," in U.S. News, World Report, in 1972. And they were selling a book entitled, "Wiring the World." So I was there over by 23rd and M Street, over by the State Department, commonly known as Foggy Bottom. They can't tell our friends from our foes. They're just out in a fog over there. And it isn't going to get any better with Christopher over there, because he's a member of the Council of Foreign Relations and Trilateralist also. In fact, he was once Deputy Secretary of State. There's a quote in this book, in the introduction. It says, quote, "There has been an explosion in all fields of communication since 1948. They didn't say about 48. They said since 48. That will have a greater influence on our individual lives than the Industrial Revolution or the development of atomic power." What a statement. And it says, if it continues to develop at the current rate, well, it's going faster than that. Within 5 years, 1972, 5 years later, 77, we will have the technical capability of reaching every ear on this earth with any chosen message. Glory to God. Do you know that CBN went on a satellite in 1977 on Channel 8? Why did they pick out 48? Well, it was in 1948 we got the transistor. Made all this possible. Some of you are so old you can remember vacuum tubes. Man, what a problem. And 1967 is when we got the Norelco cassette. See how these things begin to fall in? Really can almost make you a believer. If not already. I shared that on the 700 Club that I noticed and shouted from the rooftop that they broke ground for the Christian Broadcasting Network on the 7th day of June, 1967, third day of the Six-Day War. And Pat Robertson laughed and said, yeah, and we thought we made an arbitrary decision. Like the brother that went out and got the nails and tacks out of the road, he thought he was just going for exercise. Isn't that great? God leads you by your Holy Spirit, whether you know it or not. In fact, he'd probably do a better job when you don't know it. But no, I... Forget it. Trust him and he will direct your steps. Revelation 14:6. "And I saw another messenger flying in the midst of heaven, preaching the everlasting gospel to all who dwell upon the earth." How about satellites? And there are two more also, making it three to triangulate the earth where everybody can hear. Well, let's get on down. So those were some of the signs of the possibly the end of the age or transition time, but I want to get down to Matthew 24:36 and Mark 13:32. It says, "But of the coming of the Son of Man, you shall not know the day nor the hour." And we've talked that. "And for as it was in the days of Noah, that's the way it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days of Noah before the flood were, that's the way it will be at the coming of the Son of Man." So you can read Genesis 6 and 7, and it tells you what it was like in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Here are some of the signs you really can't miss. "The thoughts of men were evil all the time. Wickedness was great throughout the world. Violence filled the earth. Man had polluted and corrupted man's ways upon the earth." Well, cheer up, my dear one. It's going to get worse. Revelation 22:11. If you can't remember anything I say, you remember 22:11. I'm going to read the end of the verse first. Revelation 22:11. Jesus says at the end of the verse, "But I come very soon. When you see the wicked being more wicked, the filthy being more filthy, the unjust being more unjust, comma. But at that same time, you will see the righteous being more righteous and the holy being more holy." Now they're right there side by side. Where did the rapture go? It didn't go. They're right there together. Right on. So if your God is Jesus Christ, we sang the song, we're going to become more like him. If the devil is yours, then you're going to get more and more evil as it goes along. You'll look more like your God as the time goes along. Well, let's do some calculating. Some say you're not supposed to calculate. Well, you should have told Daniel that before he wrote chapter 9. And some others. 2 Peter 3:8. Well, by the way, in Revelation 13:18, if we have some time, we'll show you another calculation, which is most interesting, about Mr. 666. 2 Peter 3:8 and Psalm 9:0, verse 4 says, "But, beloved, be not ignorant," there it is, "of this one thing. With the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is but one day." Now, I can give you scriptures that a day can be a day, a 24-hour period, from sundown one day to sundown the next. Or a day can be a year, or a day can be 1,000. But a day is never a week, it's never a month, it's never 100, None of that. There's no scripture for it. A day is a day, 24 hours. A day is a year, or a day is a thousand. So you can plug into that and it becomes so obvious as to which one God is talking about. Now, there are many scriptures about a third day, and there are many scriptures about a seventh day. Exodus 19:10 and following. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down from this mountain unto the people, and sanctify the people today and tomorrow, 2 days. And be ready for the third day," verse 14. And Moses went down from the mountain unto the people, and he sanctified the people, and he kept saying unto the people, "We must be ready for the third day." And it came to pass on the third day in the morning. I bet it's about 9 o'clock, but it doesn't say that. Because remember, the Lord was nailed to the cross at 9 o'clock in the morning. The Holy Spirit fell at 9 o'clock in the morning. Colonel Mordecai Gurry entered the gate of St. Stephen's 9 o'clock in the morning, gave us all those, and here it is in the morning here. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning, there was a thunder and a lightning, and a thick cloud came down upon the mountain, and a voice of a trumpet exceeding loud. Sounds like Thessalonians, Corinthians, and Revelation. God speaking with a clear voice. Exceeding loud, so that all the people in the camp became frightened, and they met with God. So that was the third day in the morning. Hosea 6:2. After 2 days will God revive us, and will he resurrect us in the third day, and we'll live in his sight forever. Luke 13:32. Jesus said, "You go tell Herod, that old fox, quote, 'Behold, I cast out demons.'" Too bad that passed away. You'll never believe in deliverance very strongly until you've been delivered, which I have. And I am being delivered, praise God. Don't get the idea that I've arrived. It's not hard for me to keep that idea out. I know I haven't. "I cast out demons, I heal the sick today and tomorrow. And on the third day I shall be perfected." Well, the scripture says he was perfect. What's he talking about? His body will be perfect. His body is coming into the fullness of the Lord. John 2, verse 1. "And on the third day, there was a marriage feast in Cana of Galilee." Revelation 19:7. There will be the great marriage feast. Well, Revelation chapter 20 mentions a thousand-year period, so-called millennium. It's interesting that it mentions the thousand-year period 6 times. We'll come to that in a minute. Maybe the Lord's trying to tell us something. And if you start with the Lord Jesus Christ, well, then it could be the third day. And we'll look at some of those. If a day is a thousand years, and a thousand years is but a day with the Lord. Now, we don't want to build any real doctrine on it, just a possibility of sowing. So 2,000 years are just about up. And actually, 2,000 years from the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is 1997. Some of you have read the book Rapture Prophecy or Heresy. He was baptized by John the Baptist in Jordan the 15th year of the reign of Caesar Tiberius, and Caesar Tiberius began his reign in 11 A.D., so 11 add 15 is 26 A.D., and Jesus was 30 years old. So we know exactly when it happened. I don't know how many times I read that before I figured it out either. But, so you can see the 2,003rd day. Now there's a seventh day. All of you know that. Genesis 2, verses 1 through 3, Exodus 20, verse 11, Exodus 31, 17. God completed his creation by the seventh day, and he entered into a day of rest, yea, a Sabbath rest. Well, you say that's Old Testament. Well, Hebrews 4:4 says this. God did rest on the seventh day from all of his works. Verse 9 says, "And there remains yet to come a Sabbath rest for the people of God." Well, if Satan is bound at that time, then we can rest. However, you have the authority to bind him right now. And if it's 2,000 years from Adam to Abraham, 2 days. 2,000 years from Abraham to the birth of Jesus, 4 days. And 2,000 years from Jesus to what we would call the millennium, like in 6 days. And glory to God, the so-called millennium becomes also the seventh day. So it is the third day and the seventh day. Now, I don't want to skip over, I think very important. Out here, we get into the Feast of Tabernacles. It says you hold the feast for 7 days. And in the eighth day, you hold a holy convocation or in gathering. So the number eight in the Bible is always associated with new beginnings and resurrection. So out here at the end of the thousand years will be the eighth day, and if you lay the eight down on its side, you mathematicians will recognize it as the sign for infinity. Infinity sounds a whole lot like forever and ever, doesn't it? So the third day and the seventh day, the same day, to show you some generations and jubilee figures, 40 years is a generation. You can get that in Numbers 32:13, Psalm 95, verse 10, in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 10, and also in 3:17. And 50 years is a jubilee, Leviticus 25, verses 10 through 15. So a biblical age of 2,000 years turned out to be 40 jubilees or 50 generations, whichever way you want it, because 40 times 50 is 2,000. Or 2 days. 6,000 years
There's 120 jubilees. Well, 120 is significant. Acts 1, verse 15. 120 when the Holy Spirit fell upon them. 120. We know now scientifically that the 6,000th solar year from Adam will end 2001. And it ends up being a logarithmic age, which we needn't discuss here. But 2001 might be interesting. I'm thinking 1997 might be more interesting. But only time will tell. We don't want to schedule anything. We'll wait and see. Actually, in Bible prophecy, most often you don't recognize an event till after it occurs. However, we do have a broad concept or understanding. Now then, I'm convinced that the feasts are the key. Where do I get that? Well, Colossians 2nd chapter, verses 16 and 17 says this: Let no man judge you by what you eat or drink, nor by your holy days, nor your Sabbath days, which are a shadow and a type or an outline of things to come. Isn't that beautiful? The Hebrew feasts, not Jewish feasts, they're Hebrew feasts, because the Jews are only one tribe, praise the Lord, and the others are not lost. Most of them are saved. Hallelujah. So there are signs in time of so forth. They're prophetic. I know most of you know that they're, you really should know that a Hebrew feast was a Sabbath day, no work or servile type, no work to be done on that day. It didn't make any difference what day of the week it fell on. That's the reason we have Jesus Christ being crucified on Friday and resurrected on Sunday, and he's supposed to be in the grave 3 days and three nights. Well, he came up short, didn't he? Well, how about good Wednesday or good Thursday? That works a whole lot better than good Friday. Well, there's Passover, there's Pentecost, there's Tabernacles. And of course you know that there are two between each of those. Three plus the four makes seven. God's perfect number, three is for complete. But for right now, the major ones. Passover, they were in Egypt. Remember, if you put the blood on the lintel, the side post, and the lintel, isn't that interesting? When you do that, you make the sign of the cross. And the death angel would pass over. But they were slaves at the time of Passover, but now they're out in the wilderness, 50 days, Pentecost. 50 days later, they arrived at Mount Sinai and received the law. Now they're free, but they're in the wilderness. And all the Pentecostals said, oh my goodness, we're in the wilderness. But Tabernacles was a feast that was to be kept only when they arrived in the Promised Land, and it was a harvest feast. Well, how about the life of Jesus? Remember, we're told repeatedly that he's our example. He's the pattern son. We sang about that. Jesus was crucified at Passover, nailed to the cross at 9 o'clock in the morning. Holy Spirit was pulled out at Pentecost, 9 o'clock in the morning. But I couldn't find anything that had been fulfilled in the body of Christ, so I looked about Jesus Christ as his example, and I found that he was transfigured and transformed during the Feast of Tabernacles. So if he was transfigured and transformed during the Feast of Tabernacles, we shall too. Where do I get that? Matthew 17, the first 8 verses. Mark 9, the first 8 verses. Luke 9, 29 through 36. They're clearly talking about the same time, and you begin to look at them, you'll see this. Jesus took Peter, James, and John out from Jerusalem in violation of tradition, up onto a high mountain, and as he stood there praying, he was transformed. Now, that word transfigured or transformed and changed is the same word, metamorpho. King James translates it three different ways. Transfigured right before their very eyes, his face became as bright as the sun, and his garments were white as light or snow. And on the one hand appeared Moses, and on the other hand Elijah, and they talked with him. And a cloud came down and covered them, and a voice from this cloud said, This is my beloved Son, hear him. That's the reason if I have a question in the Bible, I usually give a little more emphasis to the word of the Lord Jesus Christ than other writers. Hear him. And when the cloud lifted, they saw only Jesus. In other words, they didn't see Moses and Elijah anymore. And Peter blurted out, Lord, it's good that we're here, even in violation of tradition. It's good that we're here. Let us build three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. I don't think he would have suggested that except during the Feast of Tabernacles. And that's exactly what they do. They build a little booth, and the head of the household sets in the little booth, at least at the beginning of the Feast of Tabernacles and the seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles, if not the other days, but those were commanded. That could have just as easily been said. The King James says Peter didn't know what he said. It could be just as easily a translated Peter didn't... it's the other way. Peter didn't know what to say. It could have been translated Peter didn't know what he said. Remember, he had that once before. And when he says, Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you when he said, You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. My Father in heaven revealed that to you. Well, what's going to happen? He had not been crucified at that time. By the way, what was being said was, Moses, that's the law. Elijah's the prophet. God was simply said, You've had the law and you've had the prophets. Now you have my son. Hear him. Very simple, isn't it? Well, he's our pattern. 1 Peter 2:21 says very clearly. Now, he hadn't been crucified as an example for those of us who are going to be what? Alive and
remain. We're not going. We're remaining. And we will be changed, so forth. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, alive and remain. And 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I show you a mystery or a secret. We shall not all die, but we shall all be transformed, same word, changed, transfigured, in a moment, in the blinking of an eye, at the sounding of the last trumpet. And the dead will be resurrected, and the incorruptible, we who are alive and remain, will be transformed and changed. 2 Corinthians 13:18 and Romans 8:23, we have the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, waiting for what? The redemption of our body. Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed or marked until the day of redemption. And then, of course, that's in Revelation 7:3, Revelation 9:4, Ezekiel 9:4, the seal or mark of God. And we're worried about the mark of the beast. Come on, God marks you with the Holy Spirit, and the devil can't get that mark out. Luke 21:18, signs of the times. When these things begin to come to pass, look up. Don't be depressed. Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh, the transfiguration of your body. Now, he, after his crucifixion, he's resurrected as a type for those who are dead in Christ. He's a complete example. So I hope you know or accept the fact that you're in God's image and his likeness. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, spirit, soul, body. You are a three-part being also. You have a soul. You are a spirit. You have a soul. That's your mind, your will, intellect, and you're dwelling in a body. Ephesians 5:23, may your spirit and your soul and your body be kept blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And 2 Corinthians 5:8, for me, the spirit, to be out of the body is to be with the Lord. So that's very clear. And 2 Corinthians 1:10, God has delivered us, our spirit. He is delivering us and our soul, and he will yet deliver us, our body. Now, how could you understand that if you didn't know there were three things going on? He has, he's doing, and he will, yet to come. 1 Peter, 1st chapter, verses 3 through 7, Peter says, and there is another salvation to be accomplished in the last days. He knew about spirit salvation. He knew about putting on the mind of Christ, the soul salvation. But now he's saying there's another salvation, the third salvation. Paul said he hadn't attained. So he knew that he had not come into that. And Hebrews says that they can't come in, this better thing that he saved for us, until we come in and that great cloud of witnesses are urging us on. Man, if that won't make you humble and realizing that they can't come in until we come in. 1 John 4:17, as Jesus was perfect in the world, so we will be perfect in the world. And that's also in Matthew 5:48, James 1:4, and Ephesians 4:12. And John 17:21 and 22, that they may be one as we are one, you and me and them, that the world may know that you have sent your Son. And 2 Thessalonians 1:10, this really upsets a lot of flyaways. Jesus comes to be glorified in his saints upon the earth. Well, Passover was in the first Hebrew month. Pentecost is in the third Hebrew month, and Tabernacles is in the seventh Hebrew month. Leviticus 23:34, the Feast of Tabernacles starts the 15th day of the seventh month and lasts for, you guessed it, 7 days. It's the seventh feast, lasts for 7 days, and it's the last feast. If you count the other four, it's the seventh feast, 777. As it was in the days of Noah, God said that's the way the coming of the Son of Man would be. Well, Genesis 7:10 said Noah and his family entered the ark 7 days before the flood. But the exciting part was in Genesis 8:4, the ark came to rest on Mount Ararat on the 17th day of the seventh month. How many times did I read that and never realized that that was the third day of the Feast of Tabernacles? If the Feast of Tabernacles starts on the 15th day of the seventh month, then the ark arrived at its destination the third day of the Feast of Tabernacles. So I was praying one time, and I said, Lord, sure would be nice if I could find that you were transfigured and transformed on the third day of the Feast of Tabernacles, letting everything be established out of the mouths of two or three. And sure enough, I heard an inner voice saying I should read it again. Sure enough, Matthew 17:1, Mark 9:2, said that he was on the mountain of transfiguration after the sixth day. But Luke said, 9:28, that it was after the eighth day. But even a Marine can figure it out. If it's after the sixth and before the eighth, it's somewhere around the seventh, isn't it? Making a lightning calculation. But from which would they be counting? Well, I believe they were counting from Yom Kippur, which was the great feast, the high feast, finding that their sins are forgiven for another year. And for the past year. And if that was true, then the Yom Kippur is on the 10th day of the 7th month. Well, there we go. 7 days later, puts it right on the third day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Our Lord Jesus Christ was transfigured and transformed. Now, that's sort of a reversal of what I was saying. Now we know the day and approximately the hour, 9 o'clock in the morning, Jerusalem time. That's about 8 hours later than here. So you see, it's already later than you think. But we don't know the year and the month yet. But the Lord will show us. I want to show you some of these in diagrams so you can begin to see them. If the Hebrew seventh month, the Feast of Tabernacles, starts on the 15th day of the seventh month and lasts for seven, and on the eighth day of convocation. Now, Genesis 8:4 is on the seventh day of the 17th day of the seventh month, makes it the third day of the Feast of Tabernacles that Noah's Ark arrived at its destination. Then we find that Yom Kippur, if it started, then the Lord Jesus Christ was transfigured and transformed 7 days later, also the third day of the Feast of Tabernacles. It might be a coincidence that Jerusalem returned to the control of nation Israel on the third day of the Six-Day War. Now, this pattern is repeated many times in the Bible, very quickly. I think most of you recognize the tabernacle of Moses in the wilderness. My wife Ruth has an outstanding series on the significance of the tabernacle of Moses, its dimensions and its colors and all. And, of course, I think most of you know about the outer court. When you come in through the gate, Jesus said, "He's the gate." You come in through the gate, now you're born again. But there's a lot of folks out there in that outer court. And to go real quickly, they live half their life in darkness. There's a lot of folks, but they have morning and darkness left, and their doctrines become their salvation. If you don't think so, tell them there's no rapture. But then it gets real small. Those that have come into the holy place, praise God, the only light in there is the oil of the lamp, the Holy Spirit. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and daughters of God. Now, the cube volume of that is 2,000 cube cubits, as in a biblical age. But then you go into the Holy of Holies, and the beautiful thing is there, the only light in there is God himself. And it's half the size of this out here. It's 1,000 cube cubits, as in a millennium. And then you can see a whole bunch of other stuff. I'll just sort of leave that up there, of the threes that appear in the Scripture. So it's very clear that you keep all of the feasts. If you've been born again, you've kept Passover. If you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit and are putting on the mind of Christ, you have not put on the mind of Christ. It's a process. We're in the process of keeping the Feast of Pentecost. Then if you can accept you haven't got it all, and that's real hard for everybody. Remember the Baptist said, "Bless God, we've been born again, we've got it all." And then the Pentecostals say, "Well, all we got to do is be born again, speak in tongues, and wait for the rapture." Oh, they've got it all. Well, I got news for you. If you think you've got it all, you'll get no more. Because you had to realize you needed a Savior before you accepted Jesus Christ. You had to recognize that there was something more before you were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And you'll have to admit that you haven't arrived yet before you'll even be a candidate for the transformation that will occur one of these times, I'm convinced. And as Lee Ellenwood kept pointing out to us, it will come in one at a time, just the same way your salvation. It may be occurring now. I don't know. But I don't know any. That'll be the manifestation of the sons of God. Hallelujah. Some people don't like that. But remember that once you've arrived, your trip's over. And that's very sad that some people are convinced they have arrived. How do you keep the Feast of Tabernacles? I don't know. But I do know you have to keep the other feasts. Passover the first month, Pentecost third month, Tabernacles seventh and last. But that's not embarrassing to say we don't know. Because remember, they didn't know what they were waiting for when Jesus said, "You wait here in Jerusalem until." Until how long? Just until. He told 500 to do that, and only 120 did. But glory to God, when it happened, Peter jumped up and said, "This is that the prophet Joel prophesied 700 years ago. That in the last days, your sons and your daughters," hallelujah. Don't forget sistren, brethren include sistren, and don't let that garbage, thanks to Charles Pendulum and many others, of setting that record straight. They're not killing half of the army by not allowing the women to minister. Should have told Philip's daughters that
They couldn't do that sort of thing, and many others that are named in the Hall of Faith. Well, praise the Lord. So when it occurs, people will come, and they'll want to know what has happened. And you say, well, you have seen the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles in me. And if someone says he's a manifested Son of God, let him run through a wall for you. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ appeared, he came in, all the windows and all the doors were locked. And so, but he walked through walls. And if you need a confirmation of that, 1 Corinthians 15:51, it says, in a moment, in the blinking of an eye. A blinking of an eye is a tenth of a second, but moment in the Greek is E-N-A-T-M-O-S. In the most minute or in your atomical structure, you will be changed in a moment, in the blinking of an eye. Those who are alive and remain. And the others, glory to God. You've heard about the fellow that ran through the screen door and sprained himself. Well, we won't do that. So. And how about that? I did it in 60 minutes. Hallelujah. Oh, great. Praise the Lord. Here's another transparency. We didn't have time, but spirit, soul, body. And you can see that others line up there also. These are seminar-type things. Any questions at all? I'd be glad to try to answer them. And as a dear brother the other day said, I don't know is a valid answer. Because it's only the Pope and a few pastors in this country that can say, I don't know. Well, hallelujah. Everybody knows. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. Yes, the brother here in the front in the back. Okay. Is the military a good place to be? Okay. Well, I don't see anything funny about that. What branch of the service? Great. Outstanding. Congratulations. What field of endeavor is a warrant officer? Good. The helicopter is a great machine and great. I'll just answer your question this way. You're just as well off in the Army as anywhere else. As one dear brother, John Osteen, said it correctly. You know, a while back when there was a bunch of people heading out in the wilderness and all that sort of thing, and so people would come to me and said, oh, brother so-and-so sure blew it, didn't he? He's heading out in the wilderness. Others would come and say, well, we're not led to go in the wilderness. We must have missed God. No, as John Osteen said, the safest place is in the will of God, and the most dangerous place is out of it. If God's leading you to be in the Army, then bless God, be the best soldier you can be. Amen. The scripture for that, too. You may not agree with everything that goes on. I never did after I was old enough in the Marine Corps to know what was going on. I didn't agree. Up until that time, I just accepted the government and the military was looking out for me, but they're not your friend, but you have a friend. His name is Jesus. Now, you know Merle Allender, when he was a major and I was a bird colonel, he called me up one day and said, Colonel Steed, I really think I ought to leave the Marine Corps and go on the mission field. I feel called to save souls. Would you pray and see what God tells you? Well, first off, I said, Merle, I'll pray and see what God tells you. You know, I've been in enough of that stuff. Whatever God tells you, you're going to question it. Isn't that right, Glenn and Irma? There are times you question, but you're going to have to hear it yourself. So I'll pray with anybody that God give them, unless you give me some wisdom or some knowledge. I said, well, Merle, if you think you're supposed to go out and save souls, do you know any heathens in the Marine Corps? Yeah. He said, I'm sitting across the desk from one. I said, well, lead him to the Lord. Well, that got the end of that. And I saw General Haynes a few days later, General Haynes, a four-star general in the Army. He said, did Merle call you? I said, yeah. He said, what did he ask you? I told him. He said, well, what did you tell him? I told him. He said, that's what I told him, too. Praise the Lord. You bet. Helicopters are great. Don't walk, go by air. There was a brother in front of you there. Oh, you're just reinforcing him. Yeah. It's always good to have a big man like him backing you up.
Yeah. The last time you were here, you did a rundown on what you thought the Elder Green was going to do in the end times. You alluded to my friend.
Okay. No, we won't have time to do that. The question was, is what's going to happen in the Soviet Union? I hope you know that everything's going on as planned. As Franklin Delano Roosevelt said many, many, many years ago, on the national and international field, nothing happens by accident. It's all planned. Called Rockefeller, Rothschild, Council of Foreign Relations, Trilateral, Bilderberger, Club of Rome, so forth. It's all planned. But a KGB agent, that's the CIA of the Soviets, back in 1979 defected, and he was so trusted that he was able to get his family out also and came to the United States. And he began to tell people that, now this was back in 79-80, when nobody had ever heard of Gorbachev outside of the Soviet Union. But he told them that when Gorbachev becomes the head of the Soviet Union, it will start a 10-year period in which, before the end of that 10-year period, they will make their final move to conquer the world. And he said the Berlin Wall will come down because it's a big tank barrier. I pointed that out to people for years, that the Soviet Union couldn't leave that up there if they're going to invade Western Europe. It's a tank barrier. It has to come down, and they still have around 20 to 30,000 tanks stationed just over the Ural mountains ready to invade if that ever comes. They may not even have to. But, and the Berlin Wall would come down, and he said it would look like the Soviet Union was disintegrating because they needed the money. The communist system will not work. It never has worked. It never will work. And nobody would loan the Soviet Union any money because they never pay it back. They can't pay it back. So he said they will fragment into the individual, some 40 or 50 countries all over the world, and fragment, and then they will all go on the dole from the United States and others, the International Monetary Fund and others, and we'll carry them while they rearm. They're doing that. They're building 3 new jets every 24-hour period. They're building 10 new tanks every 24-hour period right now, 1992, December, and they're building a new submarine every 6 weeks. And we're destroying ours almost equally to that. And Dick Cheney, when he was confronted with that, he said, well, we can't expect them to stop producing weapons immediately because it'd create massive unemployment. Well, look what it did to California. We didn't hesitate to stop it. Isn't it interesting? The Bilderbergers, meeting in 1990 in Baden-Baden, Germany, said we have to have another war within 5 years. Gorbachev came into power in 1985, just as Golitsyn said he would. Not the date, but when he did, everything started happening. So that'd be 1995. 1990, the Bilderbergers said we have to have another war within 5 years, 1995. The European community comes into existence, well, about 3 or 4 more days. And all that sort of thing. So if we, that little thing of Congress, we're facing the greatest challenge we've ever faced. And Bill Clinton and Hillary and that group will probably make us more and more like the Soviet Union. You know, the big crisis about there are so many millions of children in the United States that don't have health insurance. Did you have health insurance growing up as a kid, Lynn? Absolutely. Oh, bless you. My son is the manager of a beautiful restaurant in Silver Spring, Washington, D.C., and he has a Salvadorian. He has two of them. I forget their name, but Salvadorians. And he said he asked one, the more mature one, says, aren't you afraid for your family about the Sandinista killing them and whatnot? He didn't even bat an eye. He looked up and says, no, my mother's a Jesus woman. She's safe. My family's faith. And isn't that great? He wasn't saying it in faith. He's saying knowing. And when you know something, faith's not involved. Was I what? Golitsyn is the one that wrote the book. By the way, I forgot to mention that no one would publish his book until 1984. And a group did publish his book, and the name of the book is New Lies for Old. Ayatollah Golitsyn. Excellent book. In fact, Pat Robertson quotes it for 5 or 6 pages in his book, The New World Order, pointing out that it's all a rigged show. It's all to bring in the New World Order, all this whole bit. The sister here, and then we'll, don't forget your brother.
Are you familiar with Sunflower Warren at 12, which is the son of George Bush, and George 20th, 1991?
Yeah. Sure. Some of you may not know, you've heard me refer to it here. The 5th of October, 1977, Jimmy Carter signed the United Nations Human Rights Treaty. Every president up in that time had refused to sign that, because if that treaty is ever implemented, the United States ceases to be a separate nation. It becomes to be a province in the United Nations, and private property ceases to exist. Most of you don't know it, but the second day of April this year, 1992, the Senate ratified that treaty. And orders have been issued to the judges, federal judges, all of the United States, that we're now operating under the United Nations Charter. Now, all the executive orders that you're talking about, all the others. If you didn't know the Lord, it says the hearts of men will fail from fear of things they see happening upon the earth. Well, if you didn't know the Lord, you'd be in that category. But the Lord said, when you see these things, don't be depressed. Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. The world, I really mean it, it's going to get worse. People ask me, well, what do we do? Well, be led by the Holy Spirit. That's the only answer. I can't tell you what to do. Yes, brother? Well, we'll come back. This brother here, I told him I'd come back to him, and then I will you. I haven't studied the book of Enoch in detail.
Well, in that book, sons of God are represented as the God divine of Seth.
Uh-huh.
And the daughters of man are represented as the ungodly line of Cain.
Yeah. There are many studies done on the seed. I hadn't heard Brother Trombley's discourse on it.
The problem with this is the godly person and a saved person marries an unsaved person. Mm-hmm. They don't bring forth giants.
Oh, yeah. I can't answer your question on that, but you're right. You know, if you don't keep God's laws, then you suffer the consequences. It's just that simple. By the way, on the lost tribes, this is a dear lady in 1988, Ernestine Young. Got up, and she took the book of Exodus and calculated the number of Israelites that went into the captivity under the Pharaohs. We know how long they were there. We know how many came out. So she calculated their proliferation rate. And in 1988, up until 1988, she had calculated that there were over 300 million Israelites somewhere all over the world. And she said, nobody can lose 300 million people except your fundamental preacher. Okay, brother. Yeah, by Lucas and Washburn. Yeah, the basketball player that had the unbelievable memory. Theo-matic, yeah. Yeah, if it's Theo-matic, it was Lucas and Washburn. Washburn did all the work, and Lucas put his name on it to sell books. Oh, you're talking about Pannon, maybe, Dr. Pannon. Okay, but they didn't give Dr. Pannon any credit, and they should have, because they were using his word. Yeah, sure. You can get any unabridged dictionary. If we have time, I'll show you who Mr. 666 is, and I'll show you where Babylon is, all by mathematical calculation. Mm-hmm. Gorbachev is not Mr. Antichrist. Gorbachev really has no power except that Henry Kissinger gives him. By the way, George Bush will probably be the first American to be Secretary General of the United Nations. Remember, Buchanan said George Bush wants to be President of the world. I just want to be President of the United States. They're not through with George Bush, and they're not through with Gorbachev either. I think Gorbachev will be back. But, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I can show you. The guy, people sent me that on Gorbachev, and he does so much rinky-dinking and getting it to the Pentecostals been doing that with every pope's name that's ever been up. They make him out to be Antichrist. It's no big deal. You only, if you know a little bit of algebra, you only have to solve for one unknown. I can make your name add up, 666, find out what multiple is required. Do what? Yeah, it's six names, but the six letters in each of his names. You do the same with Hitler, making A equal 100, B equal 101. But that's not biblical. Kissinger's name will even add up in the Greek, 666. And he's already divided the world into 10 regions in fulfillment of Revelation 17:12. It's not the Roman Empire. The world is there. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And besides, it said there was a stone came down from the mountain and tore those 10 toes and scattered them to the 4 winds, never to be combined again. And besides, there will probably be 13 or 14 nations in the European common market. And then what's Dr. Jack been emptying all these characters going to do? They've already scheduled 3 raptures that didn't occur. I don't know why people send them money. The last one is the 28th of October of this year. They'll get on that. Was that the 2 questions you had? Okay, fine. Fine. Yes, sister. What, Maitreya? Well, it sounds New Age to me. Sure. 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 Yeah, it's Maitreya is supposed to be like John the Baptist and so forth. And of course, we also have the group that the Muslim God. Probably so. I don't know. I can't confirm that he was at Camp David, but I wouldn't be surprised because we'll get in tomorrow night. And the secret within the secret is all these people that are conspirators are generally Satan worshipers. And the trumpet sounded. How about it? People say, well, George Bush says, God bless you. I'd like to hear him say, Jesus is Lord. He may be talking about a God you and I don't know. There are a whole bunch three that I can think of in the Senate right now are all members of the Skull and Bones Secret Society, which George Bush is a third generation member of the secret occult Skull and Bones organization. Started way back around the year 1000 and something. I intended to ask Glenn if he has the book, The Guardians of the Grail. You ought to read it. Ruth read it and suggested I read it, and I thought I was up to date on the international conspiracy, but man, it started way back there. And one of the leaders of that group, of the Habsburgs, his name adds up to 666, so he will probably be the front man while Kissinger runs the show, like he's doing now. There'll be somebody who knew this some time ago, and I have the cartoon I'll show you. This was way back before the election. It showed Henry Kissinger holding up both hands, and he had a hand puppet on one. It was George Bush on the right hand, and he had Billy Clinton on the other hand. And the caption was, "Either way, you lose." Yeah. Don't let me forget. I'll come back to
it. It was a real long name. You rattled off about seven words there, and
I assure you that we will cover that if we only have one more talk. We'll cover that one. But there are many excellent books. 3 times I've talked on the campus of Princeton, and it's really interesting. C.S. Lewis Society invites me up there to get that bunch of liberals all stirred up. And they even billed me as the religious right. Isn't that interesting? They talk about the extreme right. How many have heard them refer to the extreme left? Anybody? No, they wouldn't even call Gorbachev the extreme left. They can't even call Angela Davis the secretary, the vice president of the Communist Party of the United States. They can't even call her a communist. They call her a black activist. They just can't say the word left. Of all that. But there are many excellent books. In case this is your only time here, I would suggest that you, easy reading is Pat Robertson's book, The New World Order. Ralph Epperson's book, same title, New World Order. And I haven't read the book, but my wife Ruth, and when I bought it at the Berean bookstore, the lady at the desk said, "This is the most exciting book I ever read, and it's entitled The Illuminati."
We have it.
Excellent. It's here. And And that's very readable. Yes, Dark Majesty. There are a lot of books around, but, you know, the one, none dare call it conspiracy, which was published many years ago, when it had sold over 4 million copies, the New York Times wouldn't even mention it. The number one bestseller on the New York Times hadn't sold 200,000. So they'll tell you Pat Robertson's New World Order, they actually mentioned it because Pat was ready to sue them if they didn't. You know, you don't fool with him. You know. He plays the world's way and you get in trouble. A little lady here. And then it's in Revelation 13, 17. It says, calculate the number of the beast, or it's the number of man, not the number of a man. It's the number of man, and the number of man is six. And his number is 666. And we know it is 666, because in the Greek alphabet, as the gentleman mentioned, you can find in any unabridged dictionary under pneumatics or under alphabet, you'll find that the Greek and Hebrew alphabet, the only way they could do mathematics is they assigned numbers to the letters of the alphabet. And so A was equal 1 and so forth on down. And so every word has a numerical value. And it's very revealing when you get on to it. And I didn't figure all this out myself. I wish I could tell you how many people send me letters. And I'm a publisher that published the Rapture Prophecy or Heresy and suggested that maybe it was time to publish a book entitled Knowing the Times and Seasons. But man, there's so many gaps that I don't know. But I think we would preface it with that. This is a very incomplete book, and with the statement, and I believe it, that the perfect and complete revelation for God's people at this time resides in the body of Christ. So all I'm doing is presenting my pieces and hope that yours will fit in and fill the gaps. And that happens quite often. Somebody will say something, and you say, oh, glory to God, that's what he was telling me. You know, it's confirmation. And I don't think I'll look down. Yes, brother?
The Nostradamus people are looking for someone with a blue turban. Have you found that guy yet?
No, I'm not much for Nostradamus, although he's had some good... by the way, did you know, according to Dr. G. James Kennedy, a very scholarly individual, says there are 26 religious books in the world today, and the Bible is the only one that contains prophecy. So, and God's been 100% correct so far. So I don't think he's going to be far off in the future if we can only begin to understand or reveal by the power of the Holy Spirit. And understanding and interpretation of Scripture, no personal, it's not a personal revelation. It's given either by the Holy Spirit. But you got to watch it. Lady right here was saying this, all these. In the last days there will be many false prophets and many false Christs, and many will be deceived. But if that, even the very elect, if that be possible. As I think the joke is really great, the first thing after, what's the sign of the times and so forth, and the first thing he said was, let no man deceive you. And the women all said, amen, it's the men you got to watch out for. Yes, sister. You know, the Knights of the Templar or Malta. Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, it's in this Dr. C.R. Church in his book, The Keepers of the Grail, Guardians of the Grail. He substantiates that. I don't know the man, but I do know people who have studied his work, and they say Brother Church is very thorough in his research. In fact, he wrote the book Revelation in the Psalms, or the Psalms contains prophecy in the Psalms. He's very thorough, but I would think to get that one, the Guardians of the Grail and the Illuminati. The Illuminati book is excellent because it goes beyond today and shows you what it's going to be like in the New World Order. And if you've heard of the Weaver family in Idaho, well, as Bo Gright said, he felt he was looking through a keyhole view of what the New World Order will be like. They have riots and all that sort of thing over the police beating up on criminals out in California and whatnot. But did you hear anything about the agents killing a 12-year-old boy, shooting him in the back, shooting him down, killed his mother, blew her head off with an 18-month-old baby in her arms?
for the balance of the questions and answers from this service.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you.